Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Oop, I'm sorry, I'm here. I dropped some things here. Welcome back here, final hour of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, a news talk and information, a news talk and entertainment show. Information, it ain't going to happen. Entertainment, I think we can do. Information, we're reliant on the same sources of information that you are, and so that's all I can tell you there. I don't have any inside scoop, you know.
Well, don't you think that people are don't you think people look to you, though, for a source of information they don't have?
If they are, they're making a big mistake. Okay, folks. Anyway, welcome back to our program. We're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And look at this. The phone calls ceased, and that's because we've got people trained. People do not call in the last hour because they know we're not liable to take any calls anyway, but we're not going to take any for sure in the last hour. And we have people so trained, the talk radio callers so trained, that they just don't even bother to call. And the lines were fully open, and they could have.
But we would have answered it, too.
And we would have answered, yeah. All right.
Why don't you take calls in the last hour?
We just don't want to be bothered. I mean, I respect people too much to throw out a phone number and have them sit there on hold while we continue to yap. Well, I respect some people that much. Other people we just like to mess with. All right, so getting back to the business at hand, which is the very important business of the presidential thing and who you're going to vote for and why. The debate last night, and now I should say two nights ago, because this is now officially Friday morning, and thank the Lord on high for that one. The debate two nights ago has been resoundingly proclaimed as a victory for Mitt Romney. And I just saw, I was watching our good friends over there at Red Eye saying, quoting one of the news programs is saying that President Obama has prepared more for this debate than any other sitting president, whatever that means. You know.
Well, what do you mean, whatever that means?
How do they know he's prepared more for this than any other sitting president? I don't understand. Are they? What does that mean, you know?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they just know.
Well, perhaps they're... I don't know.
Yeah, thank you. So you guys agree with me. How do they know they don't know? They're guessing. Anyway, in his first public appearance after what was widely viewed as a lackluster debate performance against his Republican challenger, President Obama was cheered Thursday by thousands of supporters, telling them at a rally that he was shocked to meet a guy who was playing Mitt Romney on stage. "When I got onto the stage, I met this very spirited fellow who claimed to be Mitt Romney. The real Mitt Romney has been running around the country for the last year promising $5 trillion in tax cuts to favor the wealthy, but on Wednesday, Romney said, 'I don't know anything about that.' The real Mitt Romney said we don't need any more teachers in our classrooms, but last night, he can't get enough of them." Anyway, Obama launched a far more spirited attack on Romney at Thursday's rally than during the debate, repeatedly characterizing Romney's performance as that of a candidate trying to morph his political profile and step away from his positions on taxes and education. These are all things he should have said during the debate. Margaret Gray, why didn't he?
Well, Phil, I think the reason why, and thank you very much for that, for throwing it to me like that.
You're going to throw it to me?
Yeah, I'll throw it to you, man. But Margaret, go ahead.
I think, Phil, what happened was the following thing. First of all, President Obama was not very well served by his advisors. He was expecting to be able to launch into Romney on the 47% thing. And there were some other statements that Romney had made during the campaign that left him vulnerable, that left him open to attack. And I think the president was waiting for that opportunity. And Romney, in a very cagey and I think a very smart move, did not go there. See? Did not go there. So the president did not want to appear as if he was trying to exploit by way of mudslinging. And he simply avoided going there. So Romney did not give the president the opening that he needed to launch the kind of attack that I think would have been more successful.
And so that would have been going after him on some of these misstatements like 47%, et cetera.
I think so, yes.
All right, Bud?
Yeah, well, if you look at it at the way, you know, that everything went, I think that President Obama probably needed to have more information than he had.
Come on, man. Wait, let him say what he wants to say.
Well, this is embarrassing.
Well, I'm going to say what I want to say. You said you want to say, didn't you?
What?
I said, you said you want to say.
Just say it, Bud.
President Obama is going to be, he's going to get his ass kicked. That's, I think, well, the bottom line on that.
You know, get his ass kicked. You know, maybe, look, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Let's have a debate.
No, not these two idiots. You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I want the two of them to debate. All right, who's in favor of Romney here?
Me.
And you, Robert, you're...
Yeah, he's Obama. I mean, well...
Yeah, I'm he was going to say I'm in favor of Obama because I'm black. No, he wasn't. All right, you two guys debate it. And
why don't you want some people that have... Why not let me debate on behalf of Obama?
Because I want these two guys, Robert and Bud, to do it. They're two working everymen. All right? They're not necessarily writers. They're not necessarily members of the media. They're just a couple of guys, okay? I'll let you open up, Robert, your belief in President Obama, your support for him, and then, Bud, why you want to vote for Obama. I mean, for Romney.
Yeah, I want to vote for Romney.
Right. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay. And mine's for Obama?
Yeah, you know who you're going to vote for?
Yeah, I am. I'm just waiting to find out. Is that...
Yes, Obama. Do you want to talk about Romney?
No, I'm saying you want me to say about Obama.
Yeah.
Okay. My name's Robert Leonard, and I think Obama has already proved that he's a great president. He's already been in the White House, and he already has, he already has proven that he can be a president. He has dealt with Bin Laden. He has dealt with the economy that Bush made a mess out of.
Gabe, everybody says that.
Shut up, man. I'm not done yet.
You got to be quiet, Bud.
That's stupid.
Shut up, man. I'm not done yet.
Bud.
And I think President Obama, if you want to talk about somebody that has experience, President Obama, they said he did not have any experience. Now he does. And I think he's done a good job considering the mess that he walked into when he came president. All of a sudden, he got elected president. Next thing you know, the whole world going to hell because of the economy.
All right. Bud?
Well, first of all, my opponent in the debate here, Robert Leonard, lied. He's a liar. And
hey, wait. You're not... No, I don't want that kind of... I want you to tell me why you support Romney.
Yeah, well, I am going to tell you why I support Romney. I got to tell you why he's a liar first.
No, you do not, man. No, you do not.
But don't you have enough to say about Romney? Go talk about me.
You just...
Don't just talk about Romney.
Okay. My name's Bud Dickman, and okay, I believe in President Romney, or not President Romney, but Mitt Romney, because I've always felt...
Would you tell him to get his finger out of his nose, please?
What?
Get your fingers out of your nose, Bud.
Oh, I'm sorry. I believe that that Mitt Romney... What?
Would you ask him to quit scratching it?
Don't scratch your crotch, Bud. You're sitting here in front of a lady.
Yeah, but it's radio.
Yes, but when on the radio, when you had your finger up your nose, we could hear it.
What?
When you were talking, you're going like... Like that.
Oh.
Just leave yourself alone and go.
Okay, yeah, Mitt Romney. I believe Mitt Romney is going to be... Is probably going to be the best candidate to be president because I think he's had experience in business. He's had experience in running, businesses. And another thing is he ran the Olympics, too. And it just... I'm sorry.
Man, you gotta keep your fingers out of your nose, man.
I thought you're not supposed to talk.
Just don't worry. Just go.
But anyway, I'm sorry.
He's scratching the crack of...
Bud, will you just keep your hands from...
Well, that's what I think. And I think that, and another thing is he ran the Olympics, he ran a business, and he's smarter than Obama is.
Okay, there's our debate between Robert and Bud, and we'll be back to see what Margaret thinks about that when we come back.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me I'm going to comment on that? I heard the halfway through he's like that. The other half, he's got his finger wedged way up there, Phil. I mean, you didn't see that.
No, I did not. He stopped. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
way,
is our bitch.
Way up there.
The Phil Hendry Show.
No, I didn't.
But yes, you did. You had your finger way, way.
Mack of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, Margaret?
Well, I just heard the debate between Robert and Bud. I thought that it was asinine. I thought that it was very cruel of you to put these two imbeciles...
Don't say that!
Hold on.
To put these two imbeciles on display like that. I just don't think that it really spoke well of your control of this show. And I don't think it did much for the candidates.
All right. So you think the two guys that are talking about something from the heart, the way they understand that, is wrong?
No, I didn't say that, Phil.
Yeah, you did.
No, I did. Would you excuse me? No, I did not. I said that I didn't think it. I don't think it spoke well.
Yeah, no, see, you walked into the trap.
Oh, I walked into the trap, did I?
Yes, you did. You did. You showed yourself to be effete and to be someone who believes that only people like yourself are qualified to debate these things, not regular people.
I never said any such thing. You're the one that put these two idiots on this. Well, I...
Yes, you're called idiots. You already gave away, like, the way you think of us.
You barely speak the English language. What do you expect me to say?
Yeah, well, I mean, Phil's saying the same thing we're trying to say. We have a right to talk our opinion.
You have a right to talk your opinion. You don't have a right to be a blithering idiot. I don't see it.
Blithering idiot in your mind.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't say idiot.
Margaret, you nitpicking me stumbling over a word isn't going to get you off the hook here. You believe that the only people entitled to debate anything are people who have credentials, people who have some sort of media credential, people who have some kind of, some credential of public standing, where it's just a couple of regular guys who may not sound the way you think they ought to sound. They don't have the right to debate these things. And even when we went to the break, Dan Northcraft, our engineer, came on. He said, you know what? I love it when those two guys debate.
He did not.
Yes, he did. He did. And that basically means that you're boring. So,
Well, I'll take that up with Dan. I don't think that he said that. I think you're lying. I think you're lying through the...
Do you have to go to the bathroom?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I have to go number one.
Get the alarm.
Here's the alarm. Margaret's going number one.
How dare you...
All right, in other news, ladies and gentlemen, so let that be a lesson. You know, here's the thing. Dan and I had this discussion, and I think it's an interesting point of view that we discussed, and it was the following thing. Why do we think it's important? What?
I want to say something. Yes, I went to the toilet, and yes, I'm going number one. Do you want to play your alarm?
Yeah.
I hope you die from a stroke.
What a hateful thing to say.
Well, you brought it on.
I'm at that age now where I guess I could die from a stroke. I never thought of it that way.
You're not going to die, are you?
No, I'm not, bud. Take it easy. All right, here's my point.
And you're just going back to business as usual, huh? I just said I hope you die of a stroke.
Will you get out of here and go number one or whatever you got to do?
Let me push it.
It's fun.
Don't do it. She'll get pissed. All right. Is it really important? Why is it important? Why is it important that a man perform well in a debate in order for him to be among the many things that would qualify a man to be or a woman to be president? Why is it important for those individuals to perform well in a debate? Now, some people will say, well, that tells me how well they know the topic. I would argue that no, it doesn't. I would argue that it is an unfair test of a person's knowledge of a subject. I would rather that someone have a deep knowledge of a topic and that they have a comprehensive knowledge of a topic that they can draw upon but not necessarily fire it back at me in record time, counted down by the seconds, because the gun's to their head. I'm going to ask you this. When has a president ever in the history of this country been faced with a decision that was one that had to be made with the pressure of a gun to the head that a debate presents? I mean, I'm asking you. When? When has there ever been a moment in the history of this country that a president had to say, oh, my God, I got to figure out the thing. What am I supposed to do? And if I don't get the right answer, I'm going to look like an ass and I will look, you know.
Well, I mean, like, what about Pearl Harbor and stuff?
What about Pearl Harbor? What about it?
Then President Roosevelt had to make a decision.
Yeah, but he didn't have to do it in 5 seconds, man, with a gun to his head and with everybody staring at him. And come on. The bombs dropped. The thing blew up. He's like, that sucks. Let me talk to the Secretary of State. Let me talk to the Secretary of the Navy. Let me find out what the hell happened. And where are these Japanese that are here? They are. What the hell do you guys think you're trying to pull? You were here to talk peace, weren't you? Well, yes, Mr. President. Well, get the hell out of here. Now, you guys split. He didn't go before Congress that day. He didn't go and ask Congress for a declaration of war on that very Sunday. What about 9/11? Let's talk about 9/11. Eh?
Yeah, well, the President Bush had a day, flew him around. He wasn't going to land or nothing.
Yeah, I had to make a decision there.
What decision? That's a decision that's not even in the hands of the president. That was a decision. Well, it wasn't in the hands of the president, but they said to him, look, you know, you have to stay out of Washington until we know what the hell's going on. Now, that is a military protocol that they advised the president of, and he concurred. Obviously, he has every right to do whatever the hell he wants to do. He's the president. But they said to him, you know, we don't think you should fly to D.C. until we know what's up. He said, okay, that sounds good. Let's do that. All right. Now, what else did they have to do?
What about with the gun of scrambled jets and stuff?
Those are the military guys, man. I'm talking about the president of the United States. The military guys, you know, if you want guys that need to answer questions in a 5-second time frame and have to be on their money, I say you get some military guys. Put them into debates. Okay, here's the thing. Planes hit the thing. There's a plane. It's out of control. We don't know where it is. It just went ghost on us. There's people on board. Do you shoot it down or do you not? Come on. I'm telling you right now, that's the life of a soldier. That's the life of a soldier. Come on. We got to make a decision. How to make a decision. There's bullets flying around. That's not what a president is up against. So these debates have provided, and I'll tell you something right now. I've never, ever, ever, ever changed my mind about an individual candidate based on a debate. Never. I've never been impressed with anybody overly through a debate. I've been impressed at times with a person's demeanor. And I've been impressed at times with, well, you know, he seems to understand, and he's cool under pressure. Those kinds of things I can see and I can like. I don't know whether, I know for a fact I've never gone and said, wow, I'm going to vote for him based on his performance in the debate. I change my mind about people based on what they say.
Yeah, but the guy gives a speech, he's all thinking about it and knows how to say it good and everything.
Yeah, how do you know he's not just trying to impress you?
How do I know he's just, well, wait, you know, I mean, look. They're all trying to impress us. They're always trying to impress us, whether they're in a debate or whether they're giving a speech. They're always trying to put their best foot forward. I want to hear what the guy thinks, okay? And I can't hear what he thinks when he's got some jackass asking him questions from a moderator thing, and he's got a bunch of clowns. Frankly, these questions from the audience and these YouTube questions, I could do without it. I could care less. I just don't care. I don't give a damn what the average person's question is. I know that that's not popular, and I know they're going to keep doing it because it gives the illusion that the average citizen somehow is asking really important stuff. And no, they're not, you know.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, you know.
Here, I want to get in on this. Cause I just... By the way, you don't have seat covers.
Where, in the bathroom?
No.
All right, we'll get seat covers. Margaret says we don't have seat covers, folks.
And I whispered that for a reason, but you get your kicks. You really get your kicks, don't you, thinking about women sitting on filthy seats. God, are you weird.
Yeah, that's how I get my laughs. Yeah, you're right.
I wanted to comment on this. You just said that the average person's question during a debate, no one cares. Is that what you said?
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
Where do you get that idea that the average person's question isn't important?
I get that idea, to be honest with you, from the condescending way that a lot of these questions are answered by the candidates. And I'm not saying condescending in the sense that they don't like the person asking it, or they... I am saying condescending, though, from this standpoint. It is an opportunity most of the time for these candidates to look good because they're, oh, yeah, thank you very much, Susie Brown. That's such a, wow, great question. And in their minds, they're thinking, yeah, well, okay. That's another one of the, that's another softball. I can handle that in my sleep, you know. All right, we'll be coming right back on the world famous Phil Hendry Show with more of this chit chat about the debate, more on turkey, more on Halloween, more on Thanksgiving turkey. just more world famous Phil Hendry show.
Gonna do a Halloween show.
Yeah, we'll do a Halloween show. Sure.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Here's what we were referring to earlier. You might, Margaret, I think you've got some interest in this, obviously. In an effort to monitor the effects of the new federal lunch policy changes, Lake County, Florida schools, Lake County school leaders in Florida have proposed using surveys or installing trash cams, cameras mounted on cafeteria garbage bins to determine what portion of students' lunches are destined for the dumpster.
Oh, that's real smart.
Yeah, I can imagine the kids... These cameras must be protected or something, right?
Well, Phil, I don't. If they ever actually do that, Florida and Florida public schools, I cannot think of a public school system that is more broke, or to put it more succinctly, more on its ass, as my husband Frank says, than
yeah, your husband Frank probably says he's on his ass and he's talking about a lady.
Oh, that was brilliant. Yay.
Well,
okay, bud. So the Florida schools are on their ass.
The Florida schools have no money for this asinine experiment at putting cameras to find out what the children are throwing away. I've never in my life heard more ridiculous ideas floated. I don't even think it warrants a news story. I think it's a bright idea that some teacher had in the hopes that it might warrant some sort of news coverage. It did. Good for you. Thank you very much. Now go back into the teacher's lounge and smoke another camel. God. Well, I just get tired of it.
All right. Well, I mean, I can see your point. This does seem like a lot of hot air and claptrap because, you know...
What's claptrap?
Bullcrap, in other words.
Yeah, it's an English way of saying bullcrap.
Oh. In an effort to monitor the effects of the new federal lunch policy changes, Lake County school leaders in Florida have proposed using surveys or installing trash cams, cameras mounted on cafeteria garbage bins, to determine what portion of students' lunches are destined for the dumpster. According to the Orlando Sentinel, Lake County schools were the only ones in Central Florida last year to phase in the new rules a year before they're required. What? Officials estimated that students tossed $75,000 worth of produce in the garbage... Tossed $75,000 worth of produce in the garbage over what period of time, prompting school board members to call for stricter trash monitoring to determine what specifically about the new policy is working and what isn't. This is lunch school reform? Is that what this is?
Yeah, they're probably like the kids, a lot of the slop that they serve, you know. I went to public schools. Now, I know you did too, bud.
Yeah.
And that's nothing but slop. I'd eat the slop in a public school. Man, I'd rather die. I'd rather die of starvation than eat that slop. So what they're trying to do now is monitor the slop that a kid eat.
They should call it the school, the public slop policy, in my opinion.
Very funny.
No, I'm serious. Bud and I talk about they call it a public, like you call it the hot slop program. You know.
What is the hot slop program?
Yeah, they got a hot lunch program, right?
Yeah.
They call it hot slop. And like they'll say, and we have now for the students the hot breakfast program. If you get a warm breakfast, they call it get a warm slop. Come on down, send your kid for warm slop.
Warm slop, hot slop. So in other words, basically you're insulting the food that the kids are served.
Yeah, I'm insulting the food. And the other thing, too, is they're talking about what are they throwing away. How about the whole damn thing, man?
Yeah, they're not eating the lunch. They're not eating the whole damn thing.
Yeah, that's good. That's from True Romance.
Yeah, that took that from True Romance.
I am offended that you would take a line like that. That line in True Romance has to do with,
Yeah, eating the lunch.
Shut up. God.
You know, you are sitting... Well, never mind.
Don't worry about it, Margaret. Quit being indignant over so many things, all right? It's just we're gonna live longer. All right, according to the Orlando Sentinel, Lake County schools were the only ones in Central Florida last year to phase in the new rules a year before they were required. Officials estimate $75,000 worth of produce is thrown into the garbage. All right. I mean, I'm not happy about that, but kids throw food away. And should we teach kids to you know, to watch the portions that they allot themselves? Yes. Should we teach kids to make sure they clean their plates? I suppose. I think the better thing would be make sure the kids are getting the right amount of food in the first place, you know.
Well, why? I don't understand.
Well, look, I don't think telling a kid to clean his plate is necessarily the right thing. If he's not hungry and he doesn't want to eat, then why force the kid to eat the stuff that's on the plate? Better that the kid learns to give himself the right portion, you know.
Yeah, but what if you want to have, that's not fair.
Why is that not fair?
If you're going down a line and they have mashed potatoes or whatever, and then they also add cakes and puddings, you're probably going to load up, you know?
Yeah, you do a load up on a cake and pudding, too.
What do you mean load up?
You're going to load up.
Well, I understand what they're saying. The kids love to have the cakes and puddings. They love the cookies and these kinds of things. And so the load up that Bud is talking about is natural for a child.
Well, it may be natural for a child, Margaret, but you have to teach these kids, listen, if you want some dessert, here's the dessert, and you also have to have this other stuff.
But the kid's hungry.
Look, if the kid's hungry, then we teach the kid the best way to not be hungry is to make sure you're getting the right kind of food. It's not healthy for a kid to satisfy his appetite by eating cake or pie.
Yeah, but you're going to load up on a pie.
Yeah, just only natural.
I don't care what's natural. You guys keep going back to this load up on pie thing.
Phil, it's a natural thing for a child to load up. Now,
you guys you're talking a language I don't understand. What do you mean it's a natural thing for a child to load up?
If the child is going down the line to have something to eat.
Yes.
And there's pie. Don't you think that... What is the child going to load up on, broccoli or pie?
I guess pie.
No, both.
Yeah.
Both. Okay. Now I'm lost. All right, so suppose the kid loads up on pie and broccoli.
Yes. You teach the child to clean that plate, even if you have to raise the plate to your face and lick it clean. Now, that's what I've taught my son.
Yeah, it's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
To lick it clean. I just want to be clear. Okay.
What's so funny about that? I really want to know. What is funny about that?
Are you telling me that a kid goes down the line, he loads up, as you guys have been calling it, on broccoli and pie, okay?
Yes, and mashed potatoes and sweet potato pie, this sort of thing.
Is there anything like meat?
Well, what do you mean by meat?
Yeah, probably surprise meat.
Well, what is surprise? What does that mean, surprise meat?
Yeah, well, you don't know what a surprise meat is.
I was a cafeteria mother, and I know there were times that we had to have surprise meat. So, yes, the answer, technically, yes.
What is surprise meat?
I don't think it's anything that you want the answer to. I don't think it's anything that anyone really wants the answer to. I think we've moved past that, what surprise meat is.
Do they still have surprise meat?
I hope not. I pray not.
Yeah, I pray every night not that they not do.
Yeah. What is wrong with you? Boy, you're looking at me. Well, look at that.
Yeah, you look like the stumbling mutter.
I don't know what you guys are talking about with surprise meat.
Man, that's a staple of cafeteria food.
I'm saying, Phil, if the child goes down the line and he selects for himself surprise meat broccoli, surprise meat pie,
What is surprise meat pie? You got to tell me what surprise meat is. I can't go any further until I know what surprise meat is.
It's a surprise.
Is it meat?
We think so.
Oh, we think so. Are you guys kidding or something?
No, Phil, I swear to God, it's the way it's been in public school. That's why I say the hot slop program.
I've been in schools. I was a student in a school. I ate in a cafeteria. I don't ever remember getting surprise meat.
They didn't call it that then.
Good God, I don't even... You're right, I don't want to know now.
Yes. So can I finish?
Go ahead.
Once the child has selected the meats, the surprise meat, and whatever protein, and the pie, and surprise pie, as well...
Can I ask a question now?
Well, what do you want now?
What is surprise pie?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, wouldn't you like to know?
Wouldn't I like to know?
Well, you said it. So anyway, Godhall, you are really weird. You know that?
No, you guys are weird with this stuff with surprise pie.
Everyone knows surprise pie. Nobody want to talk about it.
So the child goes down. We're talking about the health of our children, are we not?
Yes.
All right. The child goes down the cafeteria line. The child gets the broccolis. The child gets the very select different mashed potatoes or whatever they have. Surprise pie. And then, of course, there is surprise dip. That's if they get the French fries. You get your surprise dip, and then there's a special surprise, which the cafeteria lady usually gives you later. Now,
all right, I won't ask you any more questions, but I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Why not?
Because I'm sick and tired of hearing about surprise dip, surprise pie, and now the surprise the cafeteria lady gives you later.
And I can tell by the way you're half smiling, what a filthy mind you have.
Margaret, what do you think I'm going to think?
Dude, you know what surprise lady the cafeteria lady gives you?
Well, what does she think I'm going to think, man, if she says the surprise that the cafeteria lady gives you later? Can you tell me what it is?
Phil, it's been decades since anyone...
All right, never mind. Never mind.
No, I don't think it's right of you, Mr. Hender, to cut it off like that. There's a lot of very important discussion to be made.
If there's a lot of important discussion to be made about this, Robert, we ain't having it here, man. It's going to have to be someplace else, you know.
Well, you didn't give me a chance.
Margaret, every time I'm giving you the chance, I got more stuff that's scaring me, okay? I got...
That is scary.
Well, that all it is scary.
You better believe it's scary, and I don't even know what you're talking about. Surprise meat, surprise pie, surprise dip, and the surprise at the cafeteria.
Man, I think it's a sad day you're going to laugh at stuff like that, especially we got the slot program going.
Mr. Henry, if you're going to laugh about hot slot.
And you guys with the hot slot program, you're going to have to back way off of that. You're never going to affect change with people if you've got your finger in their face telling them they're serving slop and they're serving surprise meat, you know,
Well, I'm glad you're having a laugh as children starve. That's great. Thank you.
No, Margaret, I don't want to do that. I'm saying the children should be taught, and your bull crap here about licking the plate clean.
That's the only way you teach a child not to waste. And I will tell you, I told my son that. I said, Jason J. Delmonico, you took extra helpings of everything. Your eyes are bigger than your stomach. I want that plate clean, and by God, you'll lick it clean if you have to.
Dad, you said to him?
Yes, I did. Don't look at me like you're about ready to call the L.A. police. Don't. No, no. This is not an abusive mother thing. No. No, no. No, you're not going to be that lucky.
Well, Margaret, I think it's a pretty,
Pretty what? I said to my son, and I love my son, by God, you'll lick it clean.
That's what she said.
You filth...
Wait, hey!
Ow!
Drag him outside and throw water on him. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You want some, too?
No. Didn't kick you. I saw what she did. She rolled you outside.
Yeah.
I'll do it again, too.
Why did she do that, bud?
Because all I did, I made a joke.
What did you say, though?
I made a joke.
What did you say, though?
I said that's what she said.
In response to what?
You know what I said, bud.
She was the one who said it.
In response to what?
She said... Well...
I'm not asking you, Robert.
She said that she tells her kid to lick it clean.
Lick the plate clean.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you said...
That's what she said.
Right, so it's a crude and rude and disgusting thing to say, especially on the air, and that's why she almost kicked the hell out of you, and I credit you, Margaret, for not doing it, and just rolled you outside and threw a bucket of water on you.
Yeah, it's humiliating, though, and everything.
Yeah, well, you know, man, maybe I'll watch what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, look at you! No, all of a sudden you're taking their side.
Okay, look, I don't want to hear any more about it. Watch your language, bud. You got a big fat mouth on you. You're always saying something inappropriate, so just, you know, chill out. All right, now, let's get off of this topic. You know, we're talking about surprise meat. I'm about to throw up.
Well, Phil, why don't you join us in our crusade. Join us in our crusade. We are getting rid of the surprise meat, surprise dip.
Yeah, anything like a surprise, you know, the surprise-a-roni.
Yeah, the surprise-a-roni had, what is surprise-a-roni?
That's a macaroni that you don't even know. You don't want to know.
Yeah, you don't want to know, man.
Can I just ask a question, then we'll move on? Is this being served in our schools, you know?
Every day, Phil. Every day. You remember in Dirty Harry when he said, you really want $300 worth, don't you? And Scorpio looks at him and says, every penny. Remember that?
Yeah, that's all kind of got his face kicked in.
Yes. Well, let me tell you something, Phil. If the day ever comes when you really want your $300 worth, we'll give you every penny.
What's that supposed to mean?
We'll tell you all about a surprise meet.
I've been asking. You don't want to tell me? Okay, fine, you know.
We'll give you your $300. You really want $300 worth, huh?
Every penny. There, are you happy?
All right.
Okay. Now, speaking of food and a little bit better quality food, just going to give you the Phil diet update. I am at 219 pounds. I am 9 pounds away from my goal. My goal is 210. And today I was talking to Chris and Alex. I said, man, give yourself a break, man. You know, you can have something, you know, you can blow it out one day. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I haven't done it yet, and I'm not going to do it. I am intent on getting down to 210. And it is that day that I will celebrate. Now, this is actually kind of a blessing in disguise. You know, I thought and I wanted, as I told you guys many times, I wanted to be down to the 210 by my birthday, which was September the 1st. Well, man, we are well past that. Then I said, well, I'm sure I will be down to it by the end of the first week in October. That ain't going to happen. So now what's the new goal? And I got to tell you, I got to believe that I'll make this Halloween.
Now, why Halloween?
Because that is the first of the many great eating holidays that are ahead of us. I don't think I've ever looked forward to a Thanksgiving or Christmas season as much as I'm looking forward to this one, man, because I'm telling you, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, you don't want to turn into a fat ass again.
I'm not going to turn into a fat ass. Believe me when I tell you. I've learned my lesson. But I am looking forward to enjoying for the first time in, you know, a long time, actual Christmas and Thanksgiving. Got to sit down at a Thanksgiving dinner and eat a Thanksgiving dinner and not feel like a fat pig eating it. Same thing with Christmas. And it kicks off with Halloween, which is just a few weeks away.
Yeah, you're going to get a sugar rush and everything.
I don't care. I love it, man. I love it. So that is my new goal, and, you know, I can only hope that...
Well, are you sure you're going to get the weight off?
Yeah, we're talking 9 pounds. I mean, I've been averaging. My average since I started this has been 11 pounds a month. So, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's just... And that the 11 pounds a month I've been doing, just dieting, not exercising. You know, now I've started to kick in a little more exercise because I want to get this, I want to get it over with, man, you know.
Well, I mean, what? Your pants is falling off you too and everything.
Yeah, I noticed that you're holding your pants up.
I know. This is the other thing. These pants I bought before I went to Florida in June, these are 40 inch. Now, these are 40 inch waist pants. These pants, when I bought these at 40 inches, I was thinking, man, this is a momentous occasion because I was wearing like 50, 52, 54 inch waist. So I bought these, and now they're too big.
Now, what if you have a pair of jeans up there? You said that if you get into those,
well, those that I you know what? I don't even think I'll ever. They're 34-inch waist jeans, man. I
don't at 210 pounds. I think you will.
Yeah, but you'll have to get down to a gay weight.
What does that mean, gay weight?
What do you have to look like?
You'll have to look seductive to other men.
Oh, will you get out of here, please?
No, that's. That's what happens.
Phil, in order to get into jeans like that, you'd have to have a very trim you-know-what. And,
why do you guys go there? I have to look seductive to other men. That is about the funkiest thing.
But to talk about having a trim butt.
Yeah, if you have a trim butt...
I'm gonna trim you, man. How about that?
Ow!
All right, thank you very much, Margaret, for that,
Oh, quit being embarrassed.
I am. Anyway, thank you very much, folks. Thank you, Margaret, Bud, all you idiots. And I don't mean idiot, literally. For joining us, we will be back again tonight. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, we're going to be gearing up our podcasts again, our free podcast. The Milwaukee Lions have another game this weekend. I don't think it's a blacked-out game. They're at Portland against the Portland Logs. The Lions have won two straight. Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison with the play-by-play, so you can go and download that if you're a Backstage Pass member. You can also join us for the live game. We carry all the Milwaukee Lion games live on our Phil TV feed. It is the radio call. There's no video or TV, but it is the radio call from Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison. Again, this week from, I think, Blitherton Field, Bud?
Yeah, Blitherton Field in Portland.
Blitherton Field, Portland. All right. For all of us here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, until tonight at 10, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.